And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ this July 6th, 2025. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being with us this morning. We're going to start off with a song this morning. I think it's an appropriate song, America the Beautiful. Happy birthday, America. Hope everybody had a happy July 4th. I know that we did here, and it was a blessed day. It's one of my favorite days out of the year, and it is a day that was just exciting and fun and just good family fun, and I know that a lot of people across the country, they were getting together with family and loved ones and had a good time. We had a bunch of fireworks, which was a protest, and but I thought, I thought a lot about the day that we are celebrating and the day that it was born out of rebellion. Before we pray, though, I just wanted to say, got an email from Irene down in Texas, and then yesterday, talking about these floods that are taking place, and Richard had several slides and showed some pictures in Scriptural Review of the News this morning, and it is a big deal down there. And it is, there's just the floods that are happening, the rain that's been coming down, just like just nonstop. And they are in devastation. I think it was just under 40 people confirmed dead. They've been rescuing people like crazy, people being washed down the rivers. There's a lot of people that are affected for it. They're saying that there could be right now hundreds and hundreds missing. So it's something that we definitely need to keep in our prayers. Got a text from Brother Will this morning and asked us that if we keep him and his crew and those that are dealing with this situation in our prayers. And so I want to do that. And I ask the remnant, if you're out there, just to continue to keep those that are dealing with this, facing these trials and these tribulations and these basically catastrophic events, keep them in your prayers. We've got a lot of our people that are down there. There's a lot of good people down there. And just want you to keep those that are dealing with this, that are having to deal with the situation, keep them lifted up in prayers, if you would, please. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we do come before you and we lift up Texas. We pray, Father, that you just be with those that are your people, that you protect them, that you keep them safe, Father, that you deliver them from the floods. We ask, Father, for your angels to be present. We ask, Father, that you just guide and direct. We pray, Father, that you protect your people, Father. Keep them safe. Protect their properties and keep their property from any harm coming upon it. We pray, Father, for those that are just dealing with this situation, the coordinating of different things, the rescue missions. You know the ins and the outs, the ups and the downs, and everything that's taken place on all the different fronts that are down there. And Lord, we just come before you and we ask for your blessing upon them. We ask that you bless them. We ask that you keep them safe. We ask that you protect them. We pray that you give them wisdom, guidance, and direction, knowledge, and understanding. Lord, we just cry out. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over not only Texas, but over this land. We ask, Father, that you assist and that you just open the doors that need to be opened, that close the doors that need to be closed, and pray that you deliver your people from this event. We lift it up to you, and we thank you, Father, and we ask, Father, that you do a mighty work, that you be glorified throughout this. Lord, we come before you, and we humbly and just asking for your assistance. We ask, Father, that you just continue to guide and direct your people across this land, that you waken your people up to who they are. We thank you, Father, for the birth of this nation. We thank you, Father, that we know and that we've been privileged to have that understanding that this is that nation that was born in a day that was prophesied about in 2 Samuel 7:10. Lord, we just ask that you just continue to guide us and direct us. Be with us and be with this church. We pray, Father, for Scriptures for America. We ask that you continue to use this ministry in a mighty and powerful way to spread the truth. We ask, Father, that you be with this church. We pray, Father, for your hands to be upon it and that you shine your face down upon it and that you use this small church in a great way. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. There is a lot of things that are going on, and just do ask that you continue to be praying. We've been encouraging people to pray. Pray for America. Pray for things that you see happening. Included in the church bulletin that we've recently started sending out, and been putting the prayer chain in there. And I think that it's important. And there's a lot of people that don't receive this bulletin. We'll bring it on the screen, but I started sending this out early Sunday morning so people get this, so they know what we're going to be talking about. And we've got the church services and talk about a little bit about what's going on. But got the prayer chain there at the bottom of it, and the prayers that people have sent in. And, you know, if nothing else, I would encourage people to take these and to pray for those people that are in need. You can click, you can send a prayer request. Try to make it as simple as possible for people to send in a prayer request. But encouraging the remnant to do just that and pray for the needs of the saints. You know, we're a family out there that is just, you know, separated by a lot of miles. And when one part of the body is hurting or suffering, it's really good for the other parts of the body to lift them up in prayer and bring those prayers before the throne of the Most High. Also included on the top, just above that, healing is our born again birthright. And it's something that it just, it's not going to be in there all the time, but we'll have it in there for the next couple of weeks. Encourage people to read that. It just, it talks a little bit about healing. It's fantastic writing from Pastor Peters on how healing is ours. It's something that we need to have and we need to take a hold of. So just wanted to talk about that a little bit. I have some quotes that wanted to go through as we just passed the 4th of July. And, you know, there's just still so much controversy over the 4th of July. But, you know, the faith of our fathers, and if we look at what our founding fathers did and what they believed, I think that, I know for a fact that you can't dispute that this was not a nation that wasn't founded on godly principles. We're going to go through and read a couple of these. I thought that these are the ones that stood out to me. But John Adams said, quote, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people." Samuel Adams said, "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom alone men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven. The rights of the colonialists as Christians are founded, clearly written in the New Testament." Charles Carroll said, quote, "On the mercy of my Redeemer, I rely for salvation. Without morals, a republic cannot subsist." Benjamin Rush said, "The only foundation for a useful education in a republic is to be laid in religion. Christianity is the only true and perfect religion." John Witherspoon said, quote, "The best friend to liberty is he who promotes true and undefiled religion. God grant us that in America, true religion and civil liberty may be inseparable." Roger Sherman, "The scriptures are a complete rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy God." Thomas Jefferson, "Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God?" These are all men that signed the Declaration of Independence 249 years ago. And if that doesn't tell you something, then, well, I don't know. I guess we're going to have to go on to special ed. I wrote a letter on July 4th and sent it out to those that subscribe to our emails from Scriptures for America. And I want to read this. It was on my heart, and I sat down on July 3rd and put this together. It says, "Dear fellow Christian patriots, as we celebrate the birth of our nation this 4th of July, our hearts swell with gratitude, not just for the freedoms of our founding fathers secured, but for the King above all kings, who reigns in righteousness and truth. On this day in 1776, brave men declared liberty from tyranny and proclaimed that our rights came from God, not from any government, crown, or earthly ruler. Their battle cry still echoes today, 'No king but King Jesus.' The 4th of July is more than fireworks and flags. It's a reminder that God has a purpose for a nation. In 2 Samuel 7:10, God declared, 'And I will establish a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again, nor malicious people oppress them any more as previously.' Though this was spoken to ancient Israel, our forefathers believed they were part of a new Israel, and that this scripture was prophecy being fulfilled. Fleeing religious persecution, seeking a land where they could freely worship Jesus Christ, they established this nation under godly principles, with the Bible as their guide and the Lord as their lawgiver. Today, as darkness grows and tyranny tries once again to take root, we must stand firm in the legacy they left us. God give us the spirit of our forefathers. The courage to stand against evil, the conviction to speak truth without fear, and the faith to trust you above all else." Let us teach our children the truth, history of this land, and remind them that freedom without God is not freedom at all. We must not bow to the idols of our age, whether political power, cultural trends, or fear, but instead boldly declare with our lives and our lips, we have no king but King Jesus. May this Independence Day rekindle a fire in you, in your soul, to pray for America, to defend the truth and to walk in the liberty that only Christ can give. Let us honor this great land by honoring the one who blessed it. May God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America. In Christ and liberty. And I included in that message that was a link to a message that was entitled, Give Us the Spirit of Our Forefathers. And I didn't realize the significance that it had at the time. When I sent that message out, I included a link, and it's under the resources page on scriptures4america.org. And I strongly recommend, if you have not listened to that message, it's one of my favorite. And it was originally preached July 4th, 1985. And I sat down and was thinking about it after I had sent it out. I got a message from a brother that said he had listened to it twice while he was out driving around on a tractor. And then I was looking at it and realized that it was 40 years to the day that that message was originally preached. To me, that was significant and just kind of humbling, because I thought that, you know, there's this message that came off of an old VHS tape that probably everybody forgot about, and 40 years later can share it with the world. And it was to me, that was awesome. It was something that was just, if I wanted to go back and find a message from Pastor Peters 40 years ago and play it on that day, you know, I'd have a hard time doing that. And it was just happened to be some of the messages that I had that had dates on them. And I really think that there was a significant about that. 40 years in the wilderness. We've got a lot of 40s in the Bible, but there's, you know, it's, you know, sharing the word of God. And I think that there was more people that listened to that message. I know that got people that shared it. People took this email and they shared it with others. Got a message from a brother up in Canada, said that he took that email and shared it with others up in Canada. I had talked to somebody that said that they shared it in Mexico. And so it went viral, and I appreciate people that did do just that they took that and they sent it out. That was very encouraging. And today we're going to have a message by Colonel Jack Moore. And as I was going through the stuff, this one was that it was these both the messages were preached at a Rocky Mountain Family Bible Camp just outside of Golden, Colorado. And the one that we have today is a message by Colonel Jack Moore entitled Man to Man. And it was preached July 6th. To 1985, exactly 40 years ago from today. So I believe that there is a significance in that. I'm not sure exactly why, but it was something that just really put a smile on my face. And with that said, we do have a message by Brother Zach, but I want to go out with a song, and it is Faith of Our Fathers. Go with that, and then we're going to have Brother Zach, and then we'll be back for communion. So stay tuned.
greetings to the once lost but now found chief of the House of Israel. Today's this day, July 6, 2025. We here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you here this morning. We thank you. We hope you all had a good holiday. There's a couple things I'd like to talk about before we get into the scriptures today. And one of them is the flooding that took place down in Texas. I hope all of you out there keep those people in your prayers. It's just a terrible situation they got going on down there. It's a big mess. And they need all the help that they can get. And most of all, they need the help from our God, the great I Am, and Jesus Christ. So keep those people in your prayers. And another thing I wanted to talk about was one of the guys I listened to, he was talking about, he made this yesterday, so this would have been on the 5th, was Congress has put a bill together, and in that bill, they want to give the state of Israel, that sandbox over there, those people that have been given the name of the Israelites of old, as it says in the Bible, you will leave your name to my chosen ones as a curse to them. The United States Congress can't seem to agree on anything, but only can agree on giving Israel more money that does not promote the name of Jesus Christ, putting together a care package for them, and they want to give them 2 B-2 bombers. So when I heard that, I just thought of a quick scripture, and that's found in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 19, and we're going to start out in verse 1. Through 2. And I begin by reading. Then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to the house of Jerusalem, to his house in Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, did you help the wicked and love those that hate the Lord and so bring wrath on yourself from the Lord? Now, Richard and I were talking before this, and what was going on was Jehoshaphat had allied with Ahab, and he was a wicked king of the house of Israel. And the seer's response to this alliance was, should you help the wicked and love those that hate the Lord, and so to bring wrath on yourself from the Lord? The state of Israel, as you know from this ministry, and the only reason this ministry knows that, is that the sons of Jacob, the 12 sons of Jacob, which were the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel, were to form a multitude of nations, as prophesied in Genesis 17, and Genesis 36. That country has not formed a multitude of anything, as it was prophesied in the days of old. But yet our country, they do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not recognize him as the Son of God, as they should. And you would think, with as many Torah scribes as they have, they'd have figured it out, but they are sons of the devil. They are Esau, Edom, and they are the man of lawlessness. The promoters of Judeo-Christianity and the Judeo-preachers in this land love them so much. The United States of America, couple weeks ago, bombed the ever-living daylights out of Iran. Now, many of you know, I'm a busy guy. I literally don't have time to watch the news, nor do I care. I care about the 4 households that I am responsible for to keep the lights on and the mortgage payments paid. That is literally all I care about on my day-to-day basis. I do not have time to watch the news and worry about what anybody else is doing. I don't even care what my neighbors are doing. I don't even want to know. I'm a busy guy. But our country bombed Iran. Now, whether that's right, wrong, irrelevant. But then they were supposed to have a time of peace. What did Israel do during their ceasefire? They hit them. They bombed them. They did 100% the opposite of what they were supposed to do. Now, most of your preachers are probably like, yeah, they got every right to do that. That's not the deal. According to the way I understand it, a ceasefire is a ceasefire. You sit there and you embarrass the United States, and then you turn around and reward them with 2 B-2 bombers, some of the most classified technology on the planet that the United States owns. and you're going to give it to them. You cannot trust anything that they say. They have been abusing the Palestinian people for years. You remember a few weeks ago when we had the Remember the USS Liberty, when that anniversary took place a few weeks ago? Where was the pushback on the precious Israel Edomite Jews on that? What did the president of that time do then? Well, I think it was Johnson. Nothing. You go back even farther. The World War II Allied nations, all their militaries, liberated all those people. I mean, according to the narrative that you hear, liberated all those concentration camps, freed all those people because of the abuse that they've endured. It seems like those people would feel that they owed a debt of gratitude to the United States, and they never have. But yet we sit there and we keep blessing them over and over and over, and they repay us with bombings of the USS Liberty, which was 50 years ago, which nobody ever talks about. They sit there and they take all of our funds. What do we get in return? What do we get in return? You say we're the most blessed nation on the planet. We got 30-some trillion dollars in debt. That sounds like a curse to me. That sounds like a stack of cards to me that's about ready to fall. You better get some actual assets in your possession, people. Just that's a side note. And then they sit there and they slap the United States in the face after supposedly helping them out to make Iran not a nuclear nation, embarrass us on the world theater. That's like, that is like rewarding your kid for being a bully. Oh, don't do that. You know, you have that big theatrical what the president said about the two nations that don't know what they're doing. Y'all heard it. And here we are blessing those that hate the Lord to bring curses on us. And then we sit there and we wonder why we got going on what we got going on down in Texas. People better wake up. Blessing those that mock our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, honestly, I don't believe anything I see in the media. But, I mean, when I seen that, I mean, like, as far as, like, how great. What did Pastor Peters used to say? It was, you know, you create the illusion of, you know, of the fight, you know, between the right and the left. You create the illusion. They can't argue on, they can't come to an agreement on anything. They're going to sit there and fight, and they're going to resist and this and that. But they can only agree on giving Israel two B-2 bombers, the most advanced bombers in the world. They didn't do a darn thing to even rate, to even see a picture of one. And here we got to give them after they did that to us 10 days ago, however long ago it was. Nothing is as it appears. What a bunch of garbage. What a bunch of garbage. What are they going to do with those bombers? What, obviously, just by their action, I mean, they don't appreciate what happened in World War II according to the Great Liberation. They bombed the daylights out of the Liberty. I mean, Judeo-Christians don't know the covenant in the Bible. Even when you tell it to them, read it to them out loud, they don't believe it because they're still convinced of the narrative. What on earth? I mean, they clearly do not have the discipline to not hurt somebody with something like that and then cause a big problem on the world stage. Who caused it? We did, because we gave it to them. What a bunch of garbage. What a bunch of garbage. That's my rant for the day. I mean, if people just knew their Bibles and understood who the players are, they would know they're nothing but a bunch of sons of hell. Esau, Edom. Gotta love them. You know, it makes me sick. Okay. On a lighter note, I just wanted to throw that, not yet. You know, and then, I mean, I'm not really into it. Is Israel going to come and send a bunch of mutual aid for those people down in Texas, or they're going to leave us high and dry? I mean, they're getting a couple of B-2 bombers. Let's see what happens. No, we're, I mean, sickening. Absolutely sickening. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1. See, this is why it's important to know who the real Jesus Christ is, because when you see insanity and when you see insanity and things going on in the world and deals like that going on in the world, don't know your Bible. You don't understand Bible. You don't know the real Jesus Christ. You know, you're okay with stuff like that going down. And you give your approval. You give your approval. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So that Word that became flesh, I'm sure he ain't too happy with that deal that Congress is putting together right now, that gift package. Why? Because there's a bunch of people. I mean, all them people in there, they all got ties to them Jews anyway. And, you know, people are so convinced that the word Jew is a racial thing, and it's not. People, I mean, you can sit there. It's just, it's mind-blowing. They can sit there and read the Bible. They can read, and your seed will become a multitude of nations, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. Read it, and it's a flesh covenant, and it's just like, bonk, right off the front of their forehead. Do Super Bowl. They don't know. Wait a minute. They will never question themselves. Maybe I believe in the wrong narrative just based on that statement. So the Word that became flesh, I bet he's real thrilled about that going on. What the New Jerusalem's doing. I bet he's just like, that's awesome. I bet he's got awesome thoughts. Pouring it all over that. We'll see. Time will tell. But we're going to continue in Acts, study in Acts. We're in Acts chapter 4. I don't get too fired up lately, but when I read that, I seen that, and I seen that video that guy put together about that. And he wasn't too happy about it either. And he's not Christian dude. He's just a guy with a bunch of common sense that knows a little bit more than most people. Acts chapter 4. So we do a way of review. Last week we talked about Peter forgiving himself, doing the healing. His faith allowed him to heal the crippled the beggar that was sitting at the gate. And he was given a little bit of a talk because, people were so amazed at what had happened. Peter's like, well, remember that guy you guys crucified? Remember that guy I denied? Because of his authority and the power and his power from him and his father. That's how this stuff went down. So Acts chapter 4, verse 1, as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. There you go. There's a bunch of Jews all spun up, got a fur under their saddle because somebody was telling the truth. See, that's just it. That's just it. What? Nobody likes the truth. Nobody likes it. You tell them the truth, they're like, no. But you tell them a lie, they're like, oh, that's so sweet. That's so palatable. Love it. You know, nobody wants to know the truth. Everybody says they want to know the truth. But then when you tell them the truth, they're like, no. So here's these Sadducees listening to these guys telling the truth. Here they come. No. Yeah, I didn't even pre-read this before I started preaching. Here we go. Verse 3. And they laid their hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. So they threw these guys in the clink forcefully. But, you know, when is it going to be so bad and so gnarly that people like us will be able to go out and talk and have 5,000 people believe. When are they going to hunger for the truth? For those of you who are out there that are new and don't quite have the story figured out yet, I would strongly suggest that when you pray in the evening, if you pray, you should start. You should pray for this one thing. Lord, give me a desire for the truth and not be as those that love lies. And I talked about it in the New Testament. People love lies. You tickle the ears. Oh, it's so great. Oh, I love it. Truth will get you rejected. And in this case, their hands are thrown on them, and they're thrown in the clink. But luckily, it was already too late. Verse 5. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered in Jerusalem, and Ananias, the high priest, was there, and Kaya Iapis and John and Alexander and all who were high priestly descent. So they had the board out there. That's what they had. They had the board out there. The guys that were in the know, the experts. Let's find out. When they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, by what power or in what name have you done this? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for the benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel. So he's specific about who he's talking to. Well, maybe not so much here the way he's, because, you know, these cats here, probably Edomite. They're probably Esau, Edom, and the old red, you know. They had to have been all about delivering B2s. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by the builders, but which became the chief corner stone. So he's saying the Jesus the Nazarene, all that you guys didn't believe, all you guys that rejected him, he's the one that was the anchor of the foundation. Everything. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Why is that? Because he's the word that became flesh. That's why. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. Now, notice that. They recognized that they were uneducated and untrained. So I'll tell you, I'm going to kind of like dip back into the business world or just in life in general. There are those that are untrained. Well, let me step back. There are those that are educated and trained. I'm going to call those guys doctors, lawyers, certain engineers. I'll use engineers as an example, but you guys get the point. When I did concrete, my crew, I was one of those kind of guys that I had a level, I wouldn't say I had the best, maybe I did, I don't know. I understood, I had a high understanding of everything that was going on from when the first excavator dig went down to the foundations. I would put in foundations, I'd do pour walls, I'd set up the pylons, I'd all kinds of stuff. I mean, I understood how to read blueprints for this and that. But sometimes the engineers just didn't get the situation that we were in. And you'd have to call the architect. And then he'd sit there and he'd try to figure it out. And then it was like being partnered with somebody. I don't know if I said this earlier. I was still using this as an example to somebody the other day. Being partnered with somebody that's an idiot, that's dumb, and they don't understand really what the situation is, actually what you need to do. But they're educated, they have the degree. So you got to sit there, take in their input, pretend like you care what they're saying when you really don't, got a knucklehead, and then try to implement their solution to the problem. Like I remember one time I was doing a foundation and I happened to glance on this one. There was two different pages because there was the foundation for the wall and then there was other parts of the foundation that was inside the building. I remember the one part of the foundation, I happened to look at it and I seen it was 2/100, which was my height for my wall foundation. So I was going along there. I just took a couple boards and I thought, well, I'll just knock that out right while I'm right there. And then the inspector came and I had all the steel site tied in it. And then the inspector came, he's like, what's that? I said, that's the foundation for the fireplace. And I flipped it over a couple of pages and I said, see, it's the same height right there. We'll just do it right now. Well, we got to call the architect. I said, well, what for? Now, mind you, I'm a GED high school dropout. What for? I mean, it says It's the same height, the same grade of mud. Well, he just get through his head that I actually, well, I was seen farther down the road than he was, and he's the inspector. Sure enough, I end up calling the architect. No, got to do that at the same time, which is garbage. So I had to turn it all out before I could pour it, before I could get the green sticker to form a foundation. And, I mean, his plan, instead of being impressed, I mean, it caused a bunch of more work. So these guys, they're observed, they're untrained, they're uneducated. I mean, they can't believe they have an understanding. They can't believe that they perform this work and gain the approval of God because they got him standing there right in front of them, and they're just dumbfounded. They don't know what to say. He's not supposed to have this knowledge. These guys aren't supposed to know how to do this. All the educated ones, all the ones that were in the know, all the ones that knew how to do everything, they were the ones that demand. And if you read in the Gospels, that got all the people riled up. They know how to get people riled up and believe a lie. That lie, the lies that everybody believes. They were the ones that were wrong about who Jesus was. And they killed him, got him killed. And they're wrong about these guys thinking that they can't have the approval of God because they're uneducated. That's what it boils down to. And they're probably viewing them as a threat to their money system, to their cash flow. They're plugged into the system, just receiving the funds. Well, we can't be screwing with that. Verse 14. And seeing the man who had been standing, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But when they had ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle," here we go. Like I told you, I didn't even proofread this stuff before I came in here. "And a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it." So they recognize they're in a rock and a hard spot, so that it will not spread any further among the people. Let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name. So this is the solution to their problem. We're going to threaten them. That's what we're going to do. We're going to threaten them. You're threatening our way of life. Now we're going to threaten you. Which these guys, they probably didn't have a whole lot. I don't know. I mean, I have a picture in my mind's eye. You know, they're kind of like going around, didn't really know where they were going to sleep from night to night. And they didn't really care. That's the picture in my mind's eye. I don't know about in your guys' mind's eye, but that's me. So they end up threatening them. You can't talk about this anymore. There's no, it's like you can't talk about the bombing of the USS Liberty. And you can't talk about how the state of Israelite bombed them after it's supposed to be a ceasefire. We're going to give them B-2 bombers, and everyone's supposed to be oblivious to the fact that they're a bunch of little evil bastards. I mean, just wicked seed. Wicked seed. I don't generally get this fired up. And their solution is the same thing every time. Deny, don't talk about the real Jesus, and don't talk about what we've done. Talk about what you've done, even though the proof is in the pudding. Conceal, conceal, conceal. Curse everybody, curse everybody, curse everybody. Put them in debt, put them in bondage, put them in the interest system, put them in the fractional banking system, put them in a central bank system. Curse them, curse them, curse them, curse them. That's what they do. Offer them no freedom. Offer them no chance of having that big, heavy yoke. When Jesus said, "Take my yoke. Take my yoke. It's light." Conceal, conceal, conceal. Don't let anybody know the truth. That's what these cats are all about. They're clearly had the same MO back then in Peter's day, even when Jesus was walking the planet, and they still have it going on today. And it kind of sounds like Trump's in bed with them. Don't get me wrong, Trump does a lot of things I think is cool. But when I see stuff like that, it literally makes me very guarded. You know, he's the one that's going to have to sign the bill. Which Jesus is he praying to? Which Jesus is he claiming to be a follower of? We all know there's fake ones out there. He claiming to be the follower of the Jesus, that the United States is the new Jerusalem promised to by King David? Is he claiming to be that one? Is he claiming to follow that one? Is he claiming to follow the Jesus the word that became flesh, the promised Abraham's seed through the 12 sons of Israel, the multitude of nations? Is he following that one? I'm going to say this. I mean, I have my opinion, and I think by the statement that you know what my opinion is, but which one do you think he's following? We'll see that, Bill. We'll see. We'll see if we bring, if it brings more wrath, because we handed those people the most expensive planes, bombers to build, and the big bombs that goes down in the earth like 300, 400 feet or whatever they are. Great idea. Great idea. So they told him, don't talk about Jesus. You need to be quiet. We're the authority. They've been doing it. They were doing it then, and they're doing it now. I'm going to stop right there. We're going to start over next week. For those of you that belong to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Zach. Appreciate that. As we prepare our hearts and our take of communion today, I wanted to start off, I had a scripture that was on my mind this morning, and just want to read a couple of verses, and we'll have a song. But it's found in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1. And I was thinking about the things of this past week and Independence Day and the things that I see going on in our nation. And continued on with the theme, no king but King Jesus, and been talking about that as of late, and I really feel like that the Lord has just put that upon my heart. The other thing is awake, awake, America. I want to start off by reading Isaiah 52, starting in verse 1. Awake, clothe yourselves in your strength, O Zion, clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean will no longer come unto you. Shake yourselves from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down out of the first into Egypt to reside there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now, therefore, what do I have here, declares the Lord, seeing that my kin away without cause. Again, the Lord declares, those who rule over them howl, and my name is continually blasphemed all day long. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, it is in that day I am the one who is speaking. Here I am. How lovely are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, you watchmen, lift up your voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores them. And I want us to start off with a song. It's called Israel, Awaken from Your Slumber.
Oh, Israel, Christmas will reign, wrought by His hand. To the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Jesus was sent to call them back to dwell within His fold of chosen generation. A royal priesthood and a holy nation.
Let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we partake of your body and drink of your blood today, we ask, Father, that you purify us in our hearts and our minds and our spirits, that you help us to be stronger Christians, better patriots, better soldiers of you. We ask, Father, that you work in us in a mighty and powerful way. I pray that as we do this, Father, that we may be found pleasing in your sight, doing what is commanded of us. We thank you for this time that you've given us, that you set apart from the rest of the week. And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet and over this land. And we ask, Father, that you deliver your people from the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and all the forces that are coming against us. We ask, Father, that as we partake of this, that you give us more wisdom, more knowledge, more of your Holy Spirit, that you let our light. We pray these things and we thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may partake. And I hope you stay tuned for the next hour. We're going to have the message, Man to Man, by Colonel Jack Moore. Years ago,